Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series. With two old friends coming at it from different perspectives, together we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up, or if it is a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all the things involved in the episode, whether there are real world factors that creep into the writing, or if the episode is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, I'm a lifelong fan who has dragged Ed into this wonderful episode that we're about to review. And unfortunately, it was never really something he got into when he's younger. So thanks so much for being here, everyone. Man, Ed, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing better. I shared with you our weekend fun, didn't I? Our flooding.
The only thing you told me is that you were very excited to go and watch the Transformers movie, the 86 movie. And you bought tickets. You were very excited to go watch the anniversary of this movie. And then you realized the day of the event that it's next week. That was the last thing I heard about your
weekend. It wasn't a movie, actually. It was Hasbro is doing this 40th anniversary, the first four episodes of the series in theaters with a script reading with Frank Welker and Peter Cullen and so on, basically doing like a lot of like the script reading of the first four episodes.
Oh, so cool.
I don't know what it entails, but yes, I was a week early. Somehow I've lost a week in May, but I'm getting it back. I think. So I didn't tell you though. So Thursday night, Friday morning. I know a lot of you people who are listening to the episode have dealt with things like, I don't know, flooding or whatever before. Maybe not, hopefully not all of you. So Thursday night, I woke up at like 10:30. I just fallen asleep, you know, getting ready because we get up like around 6 a.m. for work and stuff. And my stepdaughter is out in the hallway. She's like, there's water in the house. I'm like, what? So we had some flash floods here. I know you guys had it down in Florida too.
Oh, today.
Hmm?
Like 3 hours ago, we had floods.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Thursday.
Yeah, we had weather so bad this morning. It was so bad here that I thought it was night for a second. I had a second where I was like, "What time is it really?" Like,
I love that though. So yeah, man, our side yard is still a little higher than our patio. Our patio has a drain in it just for things. It rained so fast, and like two inches almost within a little short period of time. It rained over from our side yard into the patio. Everything kind of backed up. We had water that crept into our, what essentially is a mud room, and out into the hallway. We have just today had the people take the fans away. So yay us.
No kidding. Sorry to have, no, you didn't tell me that. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it was kind of a weird weekend, crazy weekend. But yeah, then again, I got to say, man, the growing up in the South, I know you were probably the same way. We grew up with box fans and window units. So hearing that loud fan was like white noise to me. I slept so good.
I hate it. I will say though that I found a really cool setting on my iPhone the other day where I had to take my car in to get some like routine maintenance done on it. Mm-hmm. And while I was waiting, I took a book with me, paper book. I was reading a dead tree paper book.
What was it like?
Yeah, it's real cool. But I was reading this in the waiting room while I was waiting for them to change my oil and do what I like rotate my tires and all this kind of stuff on my car. But there was a TV on, and there was a woman that was really intently watching this home makeover show. She was really into this, and she actually got the remote and turned it up. And then there was a guy next to me that had he had his phone. He's watching videos on his phone with the sound on, and that's the worst thing to me ever. I hate that. I hate hearing somebody's phone.
Hate that.
And then there were like two other people that had the same thing going on. And I found in my iPhone, I found that there is a like a background ambient noise generator that you can just turn on and turn it, have it run through your AirPods. It was amazing.
That's awesome. I
was like, this is that. Yeah, there's different settings. You can have like ocean, or there's a thing called dark noise in it. Dark noise sounds like a genre of music I want to listen to.
It sounds like
I was
some really
excited
metal.
About dark. I was so excited about dark noise. And I just turned it up and I could not hear anything. This
That's
was
amazing.
Great. And I sat and read Ernest Hemingway listening to Dark Noise. That was real, real cool.
Ernest Hemingway and Dark Noise is pretty synonymous. So I've read enough Hemingway to realize I'm good with Hemingway for the rest of my life now.
Really? I'm quite enjoying it. It's a good change from
which one are you reading?
The Sun Also Rises.
Okay, I read that back in high school. Oh, that's a good one. Actually, I like that one.
It's good. It was thin, and I've talked the last few episodes that I'm trying to do a 12 books in 12 months, and so I'm intentionally going for shorter books because I read a little slow.
Yeah, I get that.
This one's actually been really good. It was Starship Troopers that was the big stumbling block, but I'm gonna come back and talk some more trash about Robert Heinlein here in a little bit, but
please do. I probably share the same sentiments. I am a person. I know people all of my life have been telling me Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't
yeah,
like it.
I, you know, I have friends that say like, "Oh man, it's so good," and
I didn't like it.
I read part of it, and I just don't like that guy's writing style. It's not good.
Boring.
He's very dull. He is extremely dull. You know what else is extremely dull?
Yes, I do.
The girl who loved Powerglide.
Powerglide.
Do you know a boy that doesn't love Powerglide?
You.
B. Ed does not love Powerglide.
You don't love this guy right here? Come on.
This is such a weird. This is so weird that they just did a completely like Powerglide focused episode, which is. On the one hand, I thought it was weird because I'm like this. He was a mini bot. He was like a $1.99 toy. Like, why are you going to focus on him and not like a, you know, like a $15 dude? Like,
well, come on.
Why doesn't the girl love Optimus Prime? Why doesn't she love a truck?
Boring.
You know, that's $15 though.
Well, then you think about it this way. You had like Changing Gears. You had these little episodes about like. Whereas the Golden Lagoon is essentially about Beachcomber being a beatnik hanging out by with animals out in the woods and electron pools. So I don't know why they have these very character centric episodes. Now, unfortunately, Powerglide is essentially Ralph Cramden. Yes,
he's very Ralph Cramden in this. The thing is, knowing what we know now after talking to the writers that we've talked to in our interviews, that, you know, I assumed that, you know, that they got these, like, you know, prior to talking to Mike Hall, that, or Mike Hill, Michael,
Mike Hill.
Yeah. My bad. No, I got it mixed up with Walter. I watched A Tale from the Crypt directed by Walter Hill a couple days ago, and I was like, can't be the same last name. But you know, because I assumed, and I think that you did too, because we talked about this a few times, where we assumed that it was one of those like mandates from like Hasbro that were like, hey guys, this week, we need you guys to focus on selling this dude because we made a whole bunch of this one guy, so let's push this guy, or you know, whatever. Or, hey, we have these three new guys coming out, so make an episode about these. But as we found out, we're talking to Mike, that's not the case at all. But this is a David Wise episode. And we're going to come back to that because I'm going to come back to David, the fact that it's a David Wise in a little bit. But we've talked about David Wise multiple times on this show. But he was the guy, his background was that he was that one guy that like wanted to be a filmmaker. And then he dropped out and studied. He studied writing science fiction with like Ursula Le Guin and all these amazing science fiction people. But I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that at the end though, because I think that ties into this episode here. So
by all means, I think that this episode is very. This bad. Is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. This is a rinse and repeat episode. It really is.
Man, I mean, on the one hand, yeah. On the other hand, I think that. God, we'll have to talk about it at the end because I think there might have been aspirations for this to be more than it was. But we start this one off with a really cool looking building, a really cool looking building. And unfortunately, this is the last cool thing we see in this episode is this giant skyscraper we have a party on top with all these businessmen and they're all wearing crazy hats. They have like, there's balloons, but they all have hats on. There's one guy that has a fez. He's got a green fez. These are cool. I love fezes.
Oh, yeah.
My grandpa was a Shriner. He used to ride around the little car and everything.
Yeah, we had little go-karts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So, yeah, she throws in the, it's my party and I can cry if I want to. Literally, line for line says that.
Well, we have this lady. This lady comes out. She's the chairman of the board or something like that. And she comes out and she's mad at this party because she says that she's stuck in this place. But they're this is like a 57 story skyscraper, and they're obviously stupid rich because they have a party on the rooftop of this place.
Dude, they have a carnival on the rooftop.
They have a carnival on the rooftop of this place. This is like when Ellen DeGeneres was mad that she was stuck in her $47 million house with Portia de Rossi during COVID. I don't buy it. This is ridiculous. I don't buy this like at all, one bit. So yeah.
Then there's it's just boring, and all of a sudden the best thing that happens is the Coneheads attack the party. You know, Dirge, Ramjet, and Thrust. And they try to kidnap her. But what do we have that happens is bang zoom to the moon's paraglide shows up. And he starts going after them, and he's like, he's gonna rescue Astoria. That's her name, by the way, Astoria.
Astoria.
Like Astoria, Washington. Astoria, yes.
Oregon.
Is it Oregon? Oh, it is Oregon. I'm sorry. It's like the top northwest corner of Oregon.
Yeah.
It's where the Goonies lived. Yes.
It's where the Goonies lived.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Standing Rock thing there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, by the way, I'm one of those people who growing up in the 80s, I cannot stand the Goonies.
Really?
I don't think it's a good movie. I just think it's terrible.
I don't know, man. I don't know, dude.
I will watch a lot of bad 80s movies. Goonies? No, man. I'm like, you know, Goonies never say die. They should have. This might be decent.
What a weird take, man. That's really bizarre. I've never seen the Goonies, but yeah, that's, we're gonna get way derailed with this. So let's let that one go for now.
Chunk love.
Oh,
sorry,
man.
So yeah, man, the Parklight drops a rope and she grabs it. He flies through buildings with her on this rope.
This looks like a Fulton recovery thing. Do you know what a Fulton recovery system is?
No.
So in the 60s, the Air Force developed this thing called the Fulton recovery system, where it was for downed pilots to get rescued. So what it was is you would have a balloon.
Yes,
it was tied to a cable, and you would send it up, and then a C-130 or something. I'm not really sure what the timeline of the plane was, but a transport plane would come and would fly in with a hook, and it would grab the balloon, and it would yank you because things going like 300 miles an hour, so it would yank you right off the ground.
What movie is that from? I saw that in a movie. I'm trying to remember right now.
I don't remember it being in a movie, but I think they used it in like a James Bond or something like that at some
point.
Maybe
that's what it was.
Like the Dalton Bonds, I think. But the big thing, most people will probably know it from Metal Gear Solid 5. Because it was cool, because in that you could carry like those things around with you, and you could go steal stuff with it. So you could level it up, and you could so at first you could like knock a dude out, right?
Yeah.
And then attach the Fulton to him and then kidnap him and take him to your base. But like after a while, you know, if you leveled up, you could steal like a mortar or a machine gun emplacement or something like that. But if you leveled it up even more, you could take a tank. You open Fulton in a tank. take a tank. But what was even cooler is if you were good, if you were sneaky enough and stealthy enough, which is not hard in Metal Gear 5, because it's after you play that game for like an hour, it's not terribly hard. But you could sneak up on guys, and instead of killing them, you could just Fulton them. And so the guy would be standing there like, "Oh, what's going on?" And then he would like scream and get Fulton away.
God,
it was real cool.
We see that Boo with Axel Underground and I and some of the friends would play GTA 5 online, and we would just have this cargo plane that you come along and hook a tank and carry it off. It was the most fun we had, just messing with people. Just they had this big weapon, you know, vehicle. You just come along, click, and take them off.
Nice.
And they get so mad the rage quit would happen. Anyways, yeah.
So Astoria's voice actress is the worst voice actress we have ever seen in all of Transformers. Where are you? Who are you? This is awful. This is absolutely terrible. Who are you?
Yeah.
Like it's the worst stops. And she falls in love with Powerglide immediately. Like she's just, he saves her from the Coneheads, and she's just like, she tries to, there's a part where she tries to like jump on him and hug him, you know,
yeah.
She tries to, and he like backhands her off.
He backhanded her down.
And so she's explaining like who she is. And she says literally, Like, see, like my father died. Okay. He owned the company and left it to me. This is the worst part. This is terrible. I'm so, and you know, like with our luck lately, we're gonna have whoever voiced her on the show at some point, and I'm gonna have to make amends for saying these things. And but you know, I'm gonna stand by this, and just
Standing
not be.
ground. But
I'm
we
just not gonna be
actually,
on that episode.
yeah, we missed the whole point where she's like you said, she's in the cockpit. Where's the pilot? And that starts going beep boop beep on the buttons and sends him into a dive. And the cunheads are like, oh, look at the superior flying. He's really pulling it off. And it's just he's in a dive. He's going to the ground because she cannot leave him alone. She can't deal with it. There's no pilot, so she must.
Right, but she
Even
says he
though
just decides to
he
push
picked her
buttons.
up,
I
beep
don't know
boop.
why he has manual controls when he's like an autonomous like
Yeah,
robot, like a robot,
he's a robot in disguise.
a robot in
Robot
disguise.
in disguise. So he's
Yeah.
in disguise. There's no flight handle though. There's
Not a yoke or anything.
beep boop,
It's just
beep boop.
buttons. Like
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, this is. Yeah, that was weird.
yeah.
We'll also touch on some weird control panels in a little bit too, but
So yeah, there's like let's say like a paraglide. He gets away from the Coneheads by stopping on a dime under an overpass.
sure.
Just he's done. And
Sure. Planes work like that.
yeah, my car works like that. It's great, fantastic. But yeah, an A-10 Warthog, red A-10 Warthog just does that under a bridge, no
He's
problem.
not an A10. Is he an A10? Because like
He's
the
an
way he's
A-10.
drawn, he is not an A10.
He's an
He has
A-10.
engines on the wings, and A10s have the engines on the tail. I just
Okay.
literally yesterday I listened to like a 2-hour podcast on describing the history of the A10 Warthog. He is not an A10 Warthog.
He is an A-10 Warthog. His toy even has the little thing in the front of the nose. Yeah.
Got the Vulcan?
Yes, he does.
Really?
Looking at it
All
right
right,
now.
man. They don't draw him like an A10 at all, but
They do not. They do not draw him like that on the show, but the figure has twin engines on the back on like the tail part of the body.
no kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's got like his little like weird things under the wings. Anyways, yeah. So he is a very he's like an economy class A-10 Warthog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He looks like an economy class. Man, so he takes her to Sparkplug's garage.
We see Sparkplug. We have not seen this guy in like 20 episodes.
Hey,
And we see him for like 3/4 of a second.
yeah, but thing is, he's busy, man. He's got a garage. He lives in New York City. He's trying to fix cars. And come on, he's got a lot going on. But that's not even the worst part of this. Like, he sends like a story into the garage. And so Asuri's hanging out, talking to Spike. Spike's like, oh yeah, my girlfriend's not around. You know, Carly, my girlfriend's not around. I may as well hit on this other girl here.
Is
Hey,
it his car? I guess Carly is his girlfriend.
well, I mean, you think at this point. So, but yeah, he starts like hitting on Astoria,
Yeah, he's like,
and
well, I mean, I would have saved somebody as pretty as you too. This was silly.
she is not feeling this at all.
I want to say that at this point in the episode, I was 5 minutes into this episode on YouTube, and I have already had two commercial interruptions on this.
That's probably the best parts of this episode. Commercial interruptions. Yeah.
So Pyro Glide and
Okay.
Astoria go on a date though, and she says this is better than running the company, but they don't they but she said they don't let her do anything.
Yeah,
So
so
what does she do?
they're riding on a merry-go-round. Her and Paraglide are on a merry-go-round. He's an A-10 Warthog
He
on a merry-go-round course.
rides on a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
He tries to like she has like a necklace on or something like that. He tries to, and she
Yeah.
gets real defensive of the necklace, and that's just
He
because
was
it
like,
was
my father gave that to me.
told me never take it off. Told me never take. That was it. That was the whole deal. So
Yeah.
we know, knowing what we know about
Well, we
MacGuffins,
find this is Chekhov's gun. You know this is.
Chekhov's
This is the
gun. This is going to come
MacGuffin.
into play
This is
later on,
the
which is
thing that's
it's
going to
fine.
happen
It's
later.
fine.
Yeah. But of course they get attacked because they're at the carnival again. And what we know now is the Coneheads love a carnival. So they attack.
They're silly. I mean,
Yeah,
yeah.
like, oh, we're gonna get her this time. And Paraglide, this is one episode, like every character of every show you've ever seen has one episode where they are the best. He is like the expert marksman. He brings down the big top. He basically traps them and, you know, hits a drink machine. It spurts Coke all over.
He shoots a soda machine and it just a giant glob of soda comes out and just like encases the cone heads. And then he shoots like a tent and the tent falls on them. And he like, essentially he like tars and feathers them with soda in a tent. This was real silly. But Power Glad said something to her about getting out of there and getting to the volcano. And I don't know what, like, did I miss something? Base.
Yeah, the Autobot base.
That's where they went. Oh, that's okay.
I was like St. Helena. A bit. I got to rewind here for a second. When Spike's hitting on her, she's like, "No, I'm not into it." And so he starts drilling into the engine. Loses a screw in the engine, goes and grabs by accident the blowtorch, starts burning the engine, and the thing catches a fire.
And the whole thing blows up.
He pushes her back. She falls into another engine, which falls into a windshield. She's like, "I'm not really good around machinery." And they're like, "Really? We didn't realize this."
Which explains, well, you know, that's why they won't let her do anything at the company because it's a tech company and she can't be around tech because apparently it's her thing. She has one of those people that has that frequency that doesn't want to be around tech.
Yeah,
whatever.
So then we get the whole impetus of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be around machines. Oh, what? Mm-hmm. How's this going to work into our episode?
Mm-hmm.
So they ramjet for one of the only times rams another plane. They're chasing him. He rams and slices off part of Powerglide's wing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool move. Finally, Ramjet doesn't, besides being an idiot, he does something cool.
It is a pretty cool move. However, so this causes Powerglide to crash. However, the A-10 Warthog, the A-10 Thunderbolt 2, actually, which is its actual nickname, famously can fly, missing half and like two-thirds of its wings.
Really?
Yeah, it's basically the most durable like fighter aircraft like ever created.
Still use it.
And there are records of this thing with like one engine, half a wing, like a third of another wing, and it making it back from a sortie with the pilot completely intact.
I love this plane. This is one of my favorite planes growing up.
It's a great plane.
Cobra Rattler.
The Cobra Rattler, yeah, is based on that. Yep. They land and Powerglide is like hurt. Like he's got his wing is sheared off, part of it sheared off. But he's like holding his arm. Like he's got a cut on his arm, a gouge. And Astoria rips off part of her dress and makes a bandage.
Because for him. It helps.
Makes so a bandage. Out. Dude. I don't know, man. And immediately after this part that I was like, a bandage? What? I get a commercial. It's another commercial.
Thank God.
After this,
I'm so happy we're getting this episode behind us. They find out Ratchet and Wheeljack show up because Powerglide's called. You know, like, we need help.
He called. Yeah, he called for help. No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Conan's take a story away. Ratchet and Wheeljack show up. Grab Powerglide, and they're in the middle of the desert, so they run off with him. So he's back on the operating table at the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, he's trying to get off the table, and Ratchet's like, no, hey, this is really delicate. So of course he does what every 80s sitcom or TV show guy does. No, I've got to go. It runs off the table.
I feel fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
He gets up. Yeah, he pulls the IV out of his arm, and he's
essentially, yeah, just saying. He just flies off.
Flies off. So at this point in the episode, no one has called, no Autobot or anyone has called the Decepticons. They've all called them Decepticreeps or Decepticoons, or even Spike has called them this. Like no one has said the word Decepticon at this point. The only person that does this entire episode, I believe, is Optimus Prime. Everybody else calls him Decepticreeps.
Well, because he's a straight guy. He's the dad.
I got another commercial at this point. On
really?
YouTube.
I don't remember
YouTube is becoming slow, completely worthless. Oh, I got another commercial. Yeah, another commercial at this point.
Yeah, I can watch this. Okay.
Yeah. We come back and we have the energy transducer.
The atmospheric disturbance.
Yeah, so we have an atmospheric disturbance, which is it turns out to be the Decepticons have a Decepticreeps have a giant floating city, a giant
Bespin.
A what?
They have a Bespin.
They have a giant frisbee that floats around. This is pretty cool. This is one of the very few cool things in this episode. Is they have a they, they've got a, they've got a big
I'm so happy the Decepticons show up and do something cool in this episode because everything else sucks. They're trying to get information out of Astoria, and she's just giving them lip, you know. So,
dude, she's no sells everything. She's like, you guys are like the worst hosts, and you know what, Astoria, you are like the worst voice actor.
So they threaten a psycho probe.
This is
thank
cool.
God something cool in this episode. The Decepticons bring home the cool stuff.
They have a thing that will extract the thoughts from a human. I thought that Soundwave was able to do this just natively, though. Or can he only do that with robots?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll say that.
But dude,
for continuity's sake, we'll say
the funniest thing, because he scans her mind and he's like, subject's mind completely empty. We know.
You think?
We know.
She's such an airhead in this. She's so like, this is it's really bizarre, man. At this point, I got guess what I got at this point on YouTube?
An ad?
Another commercial. This time it was for a thing called Noble Knight Games. You know, are you familiar with Noble Knight Games?
No.
They're sort of like a buy sell trade thing for like board games and like role playing games and stuff like that. Which is pretty cool. Because they the ad is shot like a commercial for like organically grown like produce or something like that. Like it's one of those things where you're like it was pretty. It shows like some like obvious like nerd dudes like dressed like farmers that are like harvesting like a copy of like the Ravenloft box set for Dungeons and Dragons and putting it in a basket and carrying it. Yeah, it was actually a pretty cool commercial.
That's pretty cool. I actually like that a lot.
It was pretty neat. And what's even cooler about that is that particular box set, it was the revised version of the second edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons Ravenloft box set. That's my favorite setting for AD&D, right?
Is that the one where it has a Strahd on the parapet?
Yes, it is.
I have that one actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal: is that I've a long time ago I got a bunch of Ravenloft stuff in a collection from a guy, and I had everything from that box set except for the box. He had consolidated with another box, which was bad because that box is real sturdy, and
that's
I didn't
great.
So for yeah so it was but he had it in like a flimsy box set, so I was like, all right, whatever, I'll track down just that box eventually. I wasn't on the show last week because last week was my birthday and my anniversary are like within 2 days of each other, so I wasn't here. But as a detour of a detour here, I also moderate on Facebook. I moderate an RPG like buy sell trade group, right? Mm-hmm. And so the dudes, the other moderators, just sent me a box of cool stuff. They sent me a box of cool like Steve Jackson games, and also nice. In that was just that box. They knew that I needed that box, so they sent me the
no
box.
Way.
I was real happy with that. Yeah, I was real excited.
I will say, man, that I love the old TSR box set boxes. They're sturdy. They look cool. They've got great art.
It depends on the box, because if it's the old 1-inch boxes, those are, if you look at those weird, they fall apart. If it's the 2-inch boxes, if it's the thicker boxes, those are great and they're super sturdy. And I would just keep stuff in those anyway. Sorry for the derail. An ad for Noble Knight Games, and also I love Ravenloft. So,
so do I. Yeah. Is that the stuff you got from Matt?
It is the stuff that I got from our friend Matt. Yeah,
makes sense. Makes sense. I know Matt loves Ravenloft also.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. So Rebel keeps trying to put the brain probes on her head, and he's having a really hard time. He's like, they won't stick to her head.
She's
frustrated.
She's resistant to machines. Why doesn't she cause Power Glide to malfunction?
Maybe because she crushes on him. I don't know.
Shouldn't she cause
the first time she got in the plane, she was like beep 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 beep. He was like doing it like a nose dive.
But she didn't cause like the Decepticons to malfunction. Like Soundwave should have been like ejecting cassettes and.
That would have been great.
Megatron should have been like shooting his gun, like the gun. We just wrote a better episode.
I mean, that would have the hijinks that could have. Okay, so I was watching this episode. There's a character from the comics called Circuit Breaker. She's actually a technically a Marvel character, so she can't be in like Transformer stuff. They used her in I believe the Secret Wars where she was like, she went to the oh God, what is the name of the entity that was
The Beyonder.
Beyonder, into the Beyonder, and like, yeah, I hate robots. I hate them all. They're terrible. I hate everything about robots. And so that little blurb made her a Marvel character. So you got to retain her in Marvel. But her name is Josie something.
Oh, okay.
So she was a female who could like a circuit breaker. She could disrupt electronics.
That's pretty
This
cool.
chick could have been a story. It could have been a really cool character.
Yeah.
And yet she's not. So
Power Glass shows up at this place at the, and he gets his wing shot off again.
Because why not?
But he powers through it this time. He power glides through it, thus
because
earning
he's an A10 Thunderbolt too.
Yeah, he earns the pedigree of the A10. So at this point, Megatron is just mad at this, and he's like, you know what? We're gonna give you 90,000 volts through the psychoprobe. 90,000 volts. So, and I forgive these things because this was written, you know, you didn't have the internet, but you couldn't just immediately look this stuff up. But I out of my own curiosity, I decided to look up. I'm like, is 90,000 volts lethal? How lethal is 90,000 volts? How many volts does it take to kill someone? What's the threshold for killing someone? Do you know the lowest amount of volts that will kill you?
I don't know what.
42.
Really?
42 volts can potentially kill you.
God,
2700 volts is the lowest, like, you know, like normal threshold for killing someone. Because it's really amps that make it more lethal and not so much volts. But yeah, 90,000 volts directly to the brain intentionally would basically melt it. The electric chair runs, take a wild guess, how many volts in the electric chair runs?
4,000.
2,500.
Really?
Yeah, modern electric chairs. Yeah, the first ones used 1700, but the modern ones ran 2,000 to 2,500 volts. So 90,000 volts would just completely liquefy your brain if you put it directly on the brain. There are cases of people falling on like wires and getting like 300,000 volts and surviving. There's been like two cases of this ever, and it's just like one of those freak occurrences where you just, it's like when you, if you fall out of an airplane without a parachute and you just miraculously you land weird and break your leg or whatever. But yeah, so 90,000 volts would have just turned this this woman's brains into a margarita.
Margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a funny little side story. When I was younger, the house I grew up in, my dad had a air compressor, like in the big barrel air compressors.
Yeah.
It uses the same plug as the dryer. But so whenever he's using the air compressor to, like, you know, sandblast something or whatever, he had to unplug the dryer. And
yeah, a 220.
Yeah, exactly, a 220. And so I was basically in charge of doing the laundry because apparently I was lowest on the totem pole. So I would be out there, you know, changing around the wash and dryer. And I, at one point, the dryer was unplugged. I'm like, oh, well, let me do this. I'm barefoot. The garage was wet. So, I didn't understand how I was probably like, I don't know, man, maybe like 11 or 12. I had my finger on one of the prongs. And I remember plugging it in. And I was on the ground doing this. Because, you know,
yeah, I bet you were.
Contract. Yeah. So, yes, I know a lot about how electricity affects the body. One of the many times during my childhood where I probably should have died, but luckily it didn't.
Probably should have, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big one, and then I used a towel, I think, and shoved it in, started the dryer. I was like, well, I'm not dead. There we go, we're done. And that's bad stuff.
I had my roommate and I once, we moved into this place where they didn't have a washer and dryer. And then we ended up getting like somebody, like we bought a washing machine or something like that. And then like, somebody gave us a dryer, but they were like, hey, you can have this dryer, but it doesn't have you gotta go buy a plug, because when you buy a dryer, they don't come with plugs. You have
you gotta reattach it.
You have to bolt it in and then plug it into the wall. So they were going to deliver it. And then, but he went and bought a plug, you know, it comes in a bag or whatever. So he's like, he's like, oh yeah, this is the plug we need. You know, it's a giant, you know, 220. It's a big thing, it's like the size of your hand. And he was like, huh. He's like, is that the right plug layout? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, let me go plug it in real quick and see if that'll. Yeah. So he went and plugged it in, and like, so, but
the bottom of it.
the leads were still taped together. They weren't, we didn't have the dryer yet. So the leads were taped together from the package still. So when he plugged it in, it arced that and welded those, the leads together and blew every circuit breaker in the house.
Holy.
And it was giant blue lightning shot out of the thing and everything. And I'm surprised. Yeah. He should be dead. So,
dude, all you have to do to see if that works is like, is it three prongs? Three prongs. It works.
Yeah, is the pattern the same? Prongs. Yeah, exactly.
I swear to God, every time I move to a new place, the dryer is a different layout. It's a three or four. Right. Like I've started keeping my old dryer plugs now.
Just in case.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to end up having to take it out and move around. But speaking of this, now
Astoria knows the MacGuffin is the MacGuffin, though. And she knows, like, oh, this is a secret thing. Throws it into the top of this, the energy transducer.
Yes.
Throws it into it to disrupt it. And
the necklace.
The necklace that her dad gave her. Never taken off.
But she's doing it to save her boyfriend.
The guy that she's in love with, the robot.
Yeah.
But the whole point of Decepticons kidnapping her, though, was they wanted what was in the necklace. It was like a secret to like running the company or something like that, I guess.
Like some algorithm or something that makes it so, yeah.
They could have turned the Earth's magnetic field into Energon, to unlimited Energon. Right. That was,
yeah.
Which is one of those things. It was very Coen Brothers, where like the MacGuffin didn't actually matter. The plot of this episode didn't matter at all. So
it was the friends you made along the way.
It was the friends, yeah. So Megatron's mad because the whole thing is the whole giant floating city is sinking. So he's like, return to headquarters. Brother, isn't this your headquarters? This is not your headquarters? Ooh, you got a flying saucer? It's not your headquarters? He throws her again. They want to escape. He throws her again.
Dude, he gives her a parachute with a handle. I would kill for one of these things, man. I have a massive fear of heights. I would keep one of these in my pocket all the time. Like, there we go. I'm going to knock it out. I have what you call, I bet you call the call the void. Now,
this dude made a parachute out of his hand. He pulled a parachute out of his hand. He was like a clown.
So, do you know what the call of the void is?
Call of the void?
Yeah.
No, that sounds like metal though. Is that
it's pretty metal. It's when you are deathly afraid of heights, but when you're next to a place without any kind of guardrails, you have a desire to jump. I have that. I grab on the handrails when I'm up high on something because I'm definitely afraid of heights. But also, I think in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what if I just flipped over this railing?
Huh.
So yeah, I have the thing called the call of the void. It's bizarre. Huh. My wife's like, you're never getting near an edge of anything. I will grab you and pull you back because it's just this weird thing I have in my brain where I just want to see, like, what would it be like if I just jumped off this?
Huh.
But yet I hate heights. So figure that out. It's probably some Freudian thing. I don't know. But I would love to have one of the things. She just throws it away.
Don't even keep it just in case. Yeah. I got another commercial here.
Dude, there's no way you got another commercial. I got
it. It was for lotion.
Well, at this point, I mean, as bad as this episode is, lotion is a high point. So
it was cool. Yeah, it was a good commercial. Yeah. The Decepticons evacuate. They go back to their underwater base that I love. And then so Powerglide, instead of escaping, Powerglide decides he's going to
steer
to repair this thing. Somehow he knows exactly what's wrong, which is a loose cable. And he's going to fix this thing.
Yeah, he's an engineer now.
And he fixes it. And he steers it. But the steering for this thing is just a lever that goes up and down.
Well, yeah, it's like an Atari joystick, except it only goes up and down. Yeah. So he's going to make it go this way, that way.
But it's just up and down. It's not like an Atari joystick because that goes in eight directions. This is just literally up and down. And that's how he steers. But hey, speaking of Ataris, did you know that they reissued the Atari like a couple years ago? Did you know about this?
The smaller Atari?
It's not. I'm not talking about the classic, like those classic ones that you plug in that have the games all built in. This is like an actual console that's like it runs like Linux or like something like that, or Android or something.
Run Linux, but no, I didn't know that.
But it has like Bluetooth controllers, like Bluetooth, like old school things or whatever. But the thing is, all you can play on it are like old Atari games. And I'm like, I don't know, why would anybody want this? Why can't you can just play these games on Xbox or
You can play this
PlayStation
game
or
on your
whatever.
phone at this point.
You play them on your phone. You play
Yeah.
Asteroids on your phone.
Yeah, pretty
And
much.
today I found out that there's one of these for Intellivision.
Dude, really?
Yeah. It's like a little, and you can even get it in like wood grain and like
Oh.
so the controllers look like little like phones from 2005.
Yeah,
They're like
the
little
current controllers.
Simmons phones or something, or
Well, yeah,
Sony
what up?
Ericsson phones.
When I was like 4 or 5 years old, my brother had an Intellivision, and yeah, you would get a game, you had things you would overlay onto the controller, so you know what things did. And you had a little like disc at the bottom, like it was like a little flat copper looking disc that like rolled around like this. Yeah, I know
Yeah,
exactly.
that's what these look. This is like an updated version of that. It's cool, but I don't think it's ever going to come out. But the thing is, you can buy the games for it now. They're already selling games, but if you buy the game, you get a physical box that has that you just open it up, and inside of it, there's like a QR code that you scan with your phone, and it just puts it
Why would you
your
buy an
game library.
Intellivision then?
I don't know. I have no idea,
All
but
right, then whatever. You need to find a ROM for that thing. So yeah,
dude, so.
he's steering towards the base. The best
Megatron
part
and
of
these
this
guys,
episode.
they're back in the underwater base, and Megatron says the floating platform sink the sinking is like, well, that's Power Glide's problem. I don't care.
Yeah.
So Power
And
Glide,
dude,
you
see.
spent $1 billion or like credits or Energon units or whatever by building this base. They had to build this thing. You know how much raw material that took? Like
A lot.
tons. And he's all like, oh, like he's just gonna throw it away just to spite Power Glide, not even kill Power Glide, just to spite him. Like, I don't care if it's that's his problem. Like,
The best line of this whole episode, though, the base, he realizes the floating Bespin Decepticon base is heading towards the underwater base, and he's like, energizing force fields. And Soundwave's like, what
we
force
don't have
fields?
a force field.
What force fields? We're underwater, man.
Yeah, dude, this was
That
so
was
weird.
the best payoff, though. It was such a bad episode for that payoff, and I was there for it.
That was good. That was real
Yeah.
good.
What force fields?
So and so it crashes into it, and
Yeah.
they start flooding like your house.
Yeah.
This is very relevant. This is real world
Yep.
factors are seeping into this
Oh,
episode for
seeping
you.
is what it does.
Seeping in
Yes.
this episode. This is when we cut back to the Autobots, and so Astoria is saying goodbye to Power Glide, and like, is she insane? Is this woman literally like, I don't understand. She's like the proto manic pixie dream girl. She's like the proto like,
She kind of is.
yeah. She's like she. This is like 500 Days of Summer or something in here.
Oh,
Like
God.
this is,
You're not wrong at all.
it's like Zooey Deschanel or something's going on, and I'm totally confused with what's going on
Same
here.
actor. Yeah, same acting.
And then she just splits, like maybe we'll see each other again.
I call me next time you're in the city.
Power Glide opens up the chest where he was getting worked on earlier, and he has a glowing heart in there. He's in love with her too. This is so dumb. This
Ellie
was,
Hart. Yeah, it was bad. It was real
and
bad.
that was the
That was
end. That was
it.
the end. That was the end of the
Thank
episode.
God. Like I said, the next episode, Triple Takeover, at least is funny. So we had, we get through a few stingers here, man. And then we are three episodes away from the key to Vector Sigma. It starts getting really good again, I think. But yeah, this is bad.
This was bad.
This is
So
real bad.
when I was a kid, the library, I lived in a tiny town. As I've said before, the library in my tiny town had these, it's like sci-fi, these like best sci-fi of 1972 anthologies, like from like the 60s and the 70s.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember much about these things, but they were all edited by a dude named Brian Aldiss. Are you familiar with
I don't know the name.
Brian Aldiss? So he's a grand master of science fiction, which I've seen
Grand
that
Master.
I've seen people be called that in the past, which is it sounds real martial artsy. That sounds like
Yeah, it
you know, like
does.
but so I just always assumed that it was something that like publishers just would just put on there, like written by the grand master of science fiction, you know, and like and that's fine. But out of curiosity, I did a little digging. Come to find out, that's an actual thing. There's a governing body of science fiction grand masters, and
You have to
you
train
have to
under a
get
master.
awarded. You have to get awarded this thing. There's only 40 of them, and they don't even give it out every year. Sometimes some years they're just like, nobody deserves to be a grandmaster this year, and they don't even give it out. So, but
Okay.
anyway, but I mean, yeah, that's one of those things. That's like, I don't know, man. Do you think these guys just like hang out? Do you think they call each other? Do you think these grandmasters call each other?
Maybe they're like, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading this. You don't deserve to be
You
reading
don't
that.
deserve to read.
Not
You don't deserve
enough
to
of a
read. Yeah.
grandmaster. You haven't been with us long enough.
So I used to read these things. And there were usually really good stories in these things. And but a lot of times, even for like the best of, there would be like these kind of what you would they were kind of throwaway stories. Like you'd read, it'd be like a 10-page short story. And you're like, it was a cool idea. But the thing is with that sort of medium is that you can just be like, okay, look, like, and this is the hallmark of a good writer here. It's where you're like, look, man, I've got an idea here. This is not worth developing into like a novel or a series. This is a throwaway like idea. I really want to do something with this idea. 10-page short story is the exact medium for this, and then I write it and I'm done with it. I don't have to deal with it ever again. Because it doesn't matter, because it's just not, it's a decent idea for a distraction. It's just not enough thing to write a novel about. So, and I'll just get out there and I'll publish it in like Analog Magazine or Asimov Science Fiction, Science Fact, or one of those little digest size magazines. And because I mean, every idea can't be a winner, you know. And it's fine to do an exploration of an idea like that, that's the right media, medium. But so this episode seemed like David Wise just had that idea. He's because he was a sci-fi writer. He wanted to be like a serious science fiction writer, and so he had this idea of like, he had these ideas laying around where he's like, well, what if somebody fell in love with, what if a woman fell in love with a robot? I should do something with that. It's like in his file, in his chat book or whatever, and he's like, a woman falls in love with a robot, whatever. But then he also had the one of somebody has a field about them that disrupts electronics, and he's like, oh, I'll put all these together. And then he just sort of laid around it, but he formed a Transformers episode around that. And like in a vacuum, those ideas are probably really good. And if he would have just like written a pure sci-fi story about those things, I think they probably would have been okay. But as is, I don't know that those would have been. I don't know that Brian Aldiss would have selected those for the year's best science fiction. I don't know that any other grandmaster of science fiction would have picked them either, and especially not Gene Wolfe, probably my favorite of the science fiction grandmasters. This the yeah, except for the ones that are alive. But so that said, I did not enjoy this episode in the least bit. Adult Brain reluctantly awards this episode one Fulton recovery rig attached to an unsuspecting soldier out of five. Kid Brain. And it made me hate Power Glide even more because he's just a bad character, and to the point I don't even want to tell the Power Glide story of my uncle again either, because I don't even want to tell that. I'm done with
That's
telling that story now
right.
too.
He's back alive. Forgot about
Power
that.
Glide. Kid Brain, and Kid Brain probably would have been real bored with this episode except for the giant floating city crashing into the ocean. That's a very cool thing, and I would have stolen that idea and probably used like a pool float or something like that to recreate that in my bedroom, and have that crash into my bed or something like that. That would have been pretty cool. So Kid Brain will say, I will, just for that, just for a couple of like mineable, like playtime ideas, I'll give this one two science fiction grandmasters out of five, but not good ones. Not good ones. Not Ursula K. Le Guin and not William Gibson. I'm gonna give it Robert Heinlein and L. Sprague de Camp.
There's like, actually I would give it more of authors you met at a comic convention who you never heard of, who have some like self-published novels that aren't good and have really bad cover art. But there's like
These
one
guys
guy who
aren't.
loves them.
Those guys aren't grandmasters. Those guys
No,
aren't
of
even
course not
masters.
grandmasters.
Yeah,
No, God.
those guys aren't even like black belts. Those guys couldn't defeat a grandmaster in a writing contest.
Well, you just don't know them because you're not cool enough to know that, how their genius works. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not cool enough to know a guy that wrote a novel that was just basically just a word for word like transcript of his of his Dungeons and Dragons campaign that he decided to set in space. Like, yeah, no, I'm not cool enough to know
God,
that guy.
I listen to a I listen to several podcasts because I work during the day and I have my AirPods in them while I'm working. There's this podcast called Why I Hate This Album, and it cracks me up. A couple guys, it's almost like a shtick kind of thing, but it's a comedy podcast. Why they hate certain albums, they'll listen to an album for a week. Well, this point, they're like, why I hate this movie, and they're talking about Rebel Moon, and I have not watched Rebel Moon, Zack Snyder's Star
You're
Wars.
luckier. You're luckier than I am.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it. I've heard so many bad things about it. I'm like, I'm not gonna waste my time. I've got things I like and I want to watch that I haven't watched. And I was listening to them talk about this thing, and it's just so bad. It
Oh,
sounds
it's
like,
terrible.
yeah. Oh, and like the amount of money that has been put into this movie and how bad it is, and how Zack Snyder loves like increasing the white on film. It's like the white filter is so high, it loses like some of the coolness, and there's so much slow motion and stuff. I would rather watch this episode again than watch what I've heard that is like.
Yeah, well, at least this one's only 20 minutes
Yeah,
long.
exactly. Well, there's
That's
that.
the which is about as far as I lasted in Rebel Moon.
There's a
You know,
second
I'll
rate
say though,
movie,
speaking of white and movies though, or TV, I've been watching Shogun lately, and which is really, you watch Shogun?
I have not yet watched it. I want to check it out. I've been watching a lot of other things right now, but.
It's real good, but speaking of white, there's way too many white people in that movie.
I was kind of wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
I've
where are
seen a
you
few
on? I mean,
interviews.
obviously, you hate this episode. How many
Oh
units of
man, I hated this episode when I was a kid. It
how
didn't
many
get
volts?
better
How
as
many
an
volts are you
adult.
giving this one?
Man, I want to give this. I will give this one obvious MacGuffin necklace out of five. And I don't ever want to watch it again. I was dreading this one. There's a certain part of season two, which season two has ups and downs. We're in a really bad rut. Luckily, next week is Trouble Takeover. That's at least funny. It is really funny. But this one is one of the worst ones. And I'm glad it's over. I'm glad. I figured, you were just saying like, well, anniversary, birthday, because you watch the episode like, I can't do this right now. And I was like, oh, that's cool, man. I'll let it go. And I was like, I understand. You need a week off from this. I completely get it.
No, I didn't watch the episode until today.
Oh God, you
I just
didn't?
I couldn't like yeah, well, I mean, I had a lot going, 'cause like, okay, so my anniversary and my birthday are within 2 days of each other, and then I have and then Mother's Day is right after is like the week after that, so it's like I have a lot, and then this time of the year I have a whole lot going on, and we ended up doing like a lot of fun stuff, so
That's good. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't matter if you watched this a year ago, a day ago, today. It's still bad. It
Oh, I'm
is
never
no
watching it
longer
again.
bad.
I'll never watch this again.
I
I
will never
absolutely
watch
won't watch
it.
this.
These are one of those episodes I have never watched. Now I own all the DVDs and stuff when they came out. I will never watch this episode. I this is like it was hard to watch. It was real hard to watch.
It was not fun. I did not, and I already wasn't I already just wasn't terribly in the mood to watch Transformers anyway, and it did not help.
This
I
is
do kind of want to
definitely
go
a
read
low
some,
point.
but it's pretty low. I do kind of want to dig up some Brian Aldiss anthologies though, and read about
Nice.
read some 1972 science fiction.
I will say that, man, I cannot wait. We have like what 13 more episodes until the in season two and the
I think so,
movie.
yeah.
I cannot wait to watch that with Jehu and whoever else we had on there, because I've been watching some like Gen Zers watching this and like reacting to it like, oh my God, this is great. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the generation that we are raising is like, this is pretty good. I deal with this. So I'm holding out a strong hope, and I'm right there with Jehu that the soundtrack is great, the movie is beautiful, and I cannot wait to make it to the end of this for the payoff. And I think you're gonna dig it. So we're getting closer and closer. And then that said that we will go ahead and call it here, man. I say to everyone, thanks so much for listening. We are 150 downloads away from 10,000, which isn't a lot for some shows, But I mean, I feel like we're always clawing up and we're getting what we can out of this. Our YouTubes are views are almost to 1,000 in a month period. It's really taken off there. So I'm glad of this, and I want to keep it, telling everyone, tell your friends. If you're a Transformers fan, you know the other guy who doesn't like to talk about it, but he is also tell him about it too. You guys can listen to it together. Email edhatestransformers@gmail.com. Email morethanmeetsguys@gmail.com. Just let us know what you think. Stop by the Discord, which is in the show notes, and say hi. Hang out, talk to us. And we will see you next time for Triple Takeover. And Ed, do you have anything to take us out today?
Roll out.
That's enough said. Thanks, everyone. See ya. Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.